Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, I got Brett, I got Kyle, and we have a very special guest with us today. Welcome back to the show, Mimo. Welcome back, Mimo.
Hello.
So we recognize it's been a few weeks since we've released an episode, and we're coming up on the Thanksgiving holiday, so we wanted to make sure we release something this week. It has been pretty busy for us as we've been getting ready for this move to the new facility. We've been over there quite a bit trying to figure things out and trying to figure out how to we move things around so that we can get in there as soon as possible. So that's part of the reason that we haven't released anything recently. We've just been pretty busy out of the office, but we're back today after a couple of pretty heavy sermons from Pastor Peter and Pastor Barry. So I thought we could just talk about a little bit, bring some of our own thoughts to those sermons and share a little bit about maybe some of the questions or the things that were brought up to us too. Kyle.
Yeah. So Damon, you want to give us a little recap of just the essence of what those sermons were about?
Okay. So for Pastor Peter's sermon, he came in and he said he had a special word for our church. And really what it seemed like a lot of it was just to be prepared, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things going on in the world. And, you know, sometimes being in the United States and kind of being in California, we're a little isolated from the things that are going on in the rest of the world. And Peter's been traveling all around and he's been meeting with high-level people, you know, different finance ministers of countries and different high-level people in different places. He shared a story about going to New Zealand and things like that. And just he's around the world, so he's able to see other things that we're not aware of, and just some of the things that he's been seeing are just very related and very biblical, right? And seeing some of the ways that the world is moving towards, you know, the end times, right? Mm. And so he's just trying to help us to be prepared for what's to come, because it seems like we are getting closer and closer to that time coming. And then for Pastor Barry's sermon, it was kind of in line with that, trying to help us to be prepared for just the ways that the world is against Christians. And it just seems like it's more and more prevalent nowadays how the world and Christian values are not aligned. And so it's just becoming more and more tense. And, you know, we see it in the news. We see it all over the place. And what we stand for and our values are under attack right now in the world. And so part of it is Pastor Barry just wanting our church family to be prepared for what's coming and not be blindsided by things.
Yeah, I think for me, with Peter's message, it's interesting because you could focus on the prepare for the end times and like the negative, the world system is like going to be against us or is against us or against God's ways. But I thought some of the stuff he shared, and I've Zoomed with him, almost monthly we Zoom, and just hearing some of the stories, I actually appreciate and like the stories he tells about how God's moving. Mm-hmm. And so there's this contrast, like, yeah, like we could focus on like, oh, this end time, this negative stuff is coming our way, it's already here, and we're actually starting to feel it a little bit more like in our country, which we've been more protected from, I guess, or isolated from. But it's really also encouraging to hear how God's moving in really awesome, amazing ways in these smaller countries, these different countries that don't get any news, that we don't hear about except for having a voice like him, that he's in these different places. So I think it's interesting that you could choose one or the other if you really want to focus on one. But really, actually, you kind of need to have both. You need to have that glimpse of God is moving, but you also need to remember where the story is going. Like when you know the book of Revelation and things do get kind of dark, things get heavy, but that's part of the journey of the Lord's return. So it's like to see that he's stirring in these different countries and these different areas, it really excites me. But at the same time, there's part of me is like, oh, but this heavy stuff is coming. But yeah, so I know we could get caught in the, yeah, but the heavy stuff. But really it's like, yeah, but because that's increasing, it's also the Lord's timing and his movement is increasing as well.
I like how
Pastor Peter's also like, I'm not going to preach, I'm just going to share. And then he gives that message. I'm like, okay, dude, if that's you sharing, then. No, I know he admitted to, he's like, I guess you can't take the preacher out of him because that's just who he is. But it was a lot. It was a good message. It was in ways hard to receive, and just like some of the stuff he talks about, I think for the average person, you're just like, okay, this guy's way above my normal like understanding and thinking of what I'm exposed to or even know. But I'm very thankful that he has a heart for our church, and even just to be able to come and give that word and share with us, even though, yeah, it was a lot. And I think every time he comes to share, I just am always like, dang, this guy's life is like wild, just to hear like his stories. And so many times of like where he finds himself and where God brings him to, it's just like, yeah, it's just wild. I'm always amazed, or just like taken aback a little bit of like, oh my gosh, he's, yeah, I can't even fathom just like the positions that he's been in or gets put in, or the way that God is leading him and his family. And so I know it's a blessing to be able to hear from him and gain a broader perspective of the world, or just the ways that God is moving and working.
So, yeah, listening to Pastor Peter talking, I think it is difficult and overwhelming too. But I think what was interesting and super encouraging is when he was talking about when he got put in the place where he had to preach to, I think he's a 70,000 young people,
young adults.
Yeah, yeah. Young adults.
Young kids.
And I'm assuming they're like people in their late teens to 20s, maybe early 30s. I don't know. But I think it was really encouraging to hear about that, and these young people wanting to know more of God. And thinking of our catalyst too, there are, you know, a few young people at our church that I think are there too, where they've seen Christianity in the past where it's more, I guess, more cultural Christianity, but then they want to go deeper. They want to go deeper than what they've seen maybe, or have seen maybe their parents or grandparents, whatever examples they've had in the past, and they're willing to go deeper and willing to be walk the journey that might be difficult and that might be against the culture or the grain of where the world is going. But I think there's a lot of young people that are looking for a deeper meaning than what they've maybe grown up with. So I've heard that from other podcasts before, and then for Pastor Peter sharing that, I thought was really cool.
I think one thing that I really appreciate about Pastor Peter, especially in this new season that we're heading into with the facility, and one of the things that we've been talking about as a staff and elders for this upcoming year is wholehearted surrender. And really that's what I feel like is a picture of his life, you know, and it's some of the things that we see him doing, it's like, man, that's crazy. But really it's just him surrendering to the Lord and saying, God, I'll do what you want me to do. Right. And so for me, it's a picture of what is life look like when you're wholeheartedly surrendered to the Lord, and the Lord will take you on this crazy, amazing journey. Sometimes it's stuff you don't want to do, but in the end it's like, whoa, that was kind of crazy how awesome it was. But all that to say also, not to say once we are wholehearted surrendered that we're going to turn into Pastor Peter either, right? So the Lord has a different journey and a different plan for each one of us, but he wants us to be in that place where we trust him enough that we can surrender everything to him, and then he'll show us what he wants for us and where he wants us to go. And I really think that picture that Pastor Peter gives to us is really encouraging for this direction that we're going as a church and where the Lord wants to take our people.
It's interesting you brought up the surrender part, because I actually was going to give a little behind the scenes for our listeners. It's interesting with Peter because, yeah, he has this wholehearted surrender, but his journey to surrender, it's very challenging, difficult. He can be very stubborn. He fights God in a lot of ways. So it's interesting that he gets to the place, and we hear a lot of the story of the surrender, once he finally surrenders, what God does. But he shares a little bit in his when he talks that, you know, but it's like it's some pretty deep wrestling or doubting or just questioning God that goes on. But then I'll give a shout out to the wives, because his wife Julian really brings a counter to that of like, when she hears from the Lord, she's like, no, you need to go do that. He's like, but I don't want to. I don't know, like, why? And then, but if she knows that she'll be like, it doesn't matter, go do it, you know? And so she like snaps him out of like this, like kind of tantrum sometimes he gets in. But then it's interesting because even a person like him, he's in these great positions in these areas, but it doesn't come with just ease either. Like, he still has that deep wrestling and like, I don't want to, like, this doesn't make sense. Why are you doing this? So just to encourage that, we all have that. Even people with that kind of stature, they still have that, the flesh that they battle with, or their own reasoning, or, you know, things like that.
Yeah, it seems like every time there's something he doesn't want to do, that's the thing that God has him do.
Right.
I don't want to go there. And then somehow God takes him to that place. I don't want to do that. And then God takes him to that place. But
it's like Jonah.
Yeah.
Seriously. Yeah. Well, I mean, I laugh because that's his journey back to Korea. It's been almost 2 years now. He didn't want to go. But Julian knew, like, we're supposed to be in Korea. And so that's, a lot of this stuff's been happening since there. And he finally said afterwards, is like, that was my Jonah moment. Like, I didn't want to go back to Korea. He was just being stubborn. It's like, I don't want to. He had some bad experiences, especially with the church there and different things. And he's like, no, I'm not going. And then finally, like, yeah, he relented.
Oh, no, I just was thinking, you know, and then I re-listened to Pastor Peter sharing this morning, because I had him in a couple of weeks, right? And then he was sharing about how when he was so anxious and angry at God, he took a bath and, like, just had to relax. And I was like, yeah, like, sometimes I'm so upset or angry or frustrated that I'm not hearing anything, anybody, except for my own thoughts and my own rage of anger and whatever. And then so I was like, yeah, it's a good reminder. Like, everybody needs to just, like, kind of unplug and seek Lord, whatever, in the bath or just on the walk or whatever. So
that'll have to be the new thing. If someone's too stuck in whatever, you just be like, hey, take a bath.
Yeah. Be like Pastor Peter, take a bath.
Go take a bath. You need a bath.
I mean, I think another way to do that is just like Mimo said, take a walk. You know, so I guess this can kind of segue into our talking about Pastor Barry. So one of the things that Pastor Barry was talking about at the beginning of his sermon was how because of social media, a lot of us are interested in getting likes, right? And then, so one of the things that Mimo has introduced to me recently is she's been trying to get me to do a digital detox, which I thought she was doing too, but then this morning she said she wasn't doing it. So.
But I'm not really on social media, so I guess I don't know. I go off and on, I guess.
Okay, so for the past few weeks, because Mimo said, hey, do you want to do this? I said, okay, I'll do it. I have kind of taken a break from my social media. I've also taken a break. I used to play a lot of Pokemon on my phone, and so I took it off my phone. I do graphic design, so sometimes because I can do it. I watch TV while I'm, you know, doing my design stuff. And I feel like the Lord told me, don't do that. And then in the car, if no one else is in the car, I'll just turn the radio off. So just like a lot of the distractions, I feel like he told me, you know, don't go to those things right now. Oh, and then I forgot where I was going with this whole thing.
I'm like, how are you going to connect this to the Barry? I'm like, all right, I'm.
Well, I think the thing is, we're filled with noises, whether it's of our own thoughts or other people's noises. And that's what I've come to realize I only have Instagram and I haven't been on it for a while. And I'll take breaks months at a time or a year at a time, whatever, because I don't want to have my thoughts occupied by the world or what other people think of certain things. I want it to be with God. So I think I've shared this in the past. Like I used to, like several years back, like first thing I wake up in the morning, I look at my phone and check whatever notifications I have. But I don't do that anymore because I want to make sure the first thoughts and words that come to my mind are from the Lord. So I think it's just changing the perspective and changing the lifestyle choices that we all have.
Okay, I remember where I was going.
All right.
Thanks, Mimo, for giving me the time to think. Okay, so where I was going with that is I've actually noticed I've been a lot more productive in the time that I do have.
Mm. Surprise, surprise.
Get rid of the distractions and you get more productive. I mean, it's simple math, right? 1 + 1 = 2. So because of that, I've had more time. And then I felt like the Lord said, like, with that time, I want you to spend it with me. So, you know, Brett's noticed that I've been taking a lot more walks at work. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the Lord said, like, you have the time, go take a 10-minute walk and just spend it with me. And even if I'm not talking, like if he's not talking, but just let's spend the time together. Right. And so, I feel like that's also been a good way to, kind of break out when there's times where it's like, oh, I'm feeling anxious or I'm feeling something. It's like, okay, I'll just go on a walk and spend that time with the Lord. And then it kind of snaps me out of it. And then I can go back into work or wherever I'm at, coming from a different place because I've had that time with the Lord. And so I think that is a way for, you know, sometimes it might be hard to take a bath, right? But taking a, you know, just a quick walk, I think that's something that we can all do. And just to get away, you know, a lot of times when I take my walk, I'll leave my phone on my desk or somewhere else. So it's not, I'm not taking it with me. And it really does make a difference.
So when you're sharing that, I'm connecting it with, that's really kind of trying to be countercultural, because our cultural is the, like Mimo was describing, a lot of voices, a lot of noise, like that's what our culture pushes us towards. But seems like the Lord is shifting you away from that, which to connect fully with Barry's messages about being hated by the world. So then the world, maybe like that's not about hate, but it's like, I don't see that why, that doesn't make sense. That's not, there's no value in that, but it starts going towards that thing because you're rooted in, your values are different than the world values. So then they're not going to understand that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't necessarily think it's like leading to hatred that I'm doing walks, sure, or not doing that,
right,
stuff.
Right.
But I think it does separate,
right,
from the world, you know? So I do feel like there's something different that the Lord is doing in me. And it's been an interesting journey, but I do feel like because I've been able to take that time, then I'm able to respond in different ways than I was before. And yeah, it's been an interesting time and an interesting journey through that.
I think it's also finding contentment in the Lord instead of like finding value from others or worrying about what other people think. When you're spending time with God and you're just sitting at his presence, even when you don't ask him any questions and you feel like he's not talking to you, but just the fact that you're sitting and ready for God to talk to you at any moment, and just being okay with waiting, because waiting is really hard for most of us. We're so impatient, and you know, like when I'm driving or anything, or waiting in lines. I hate waiting in lines. We're so impatient, right? And then that's when we are so easy to pull up our phone and like try to distract ourselves versus just waiting. We can't wait. So I think just the fact that you're willing to not be distracted with whatever that can occupy your mind, but wait on the Lord, I think that changes.
You know, and they say like it takes what, 30 days to change a habit? Well, I think I just passed 30 days, but I can still feel like the desire to go back to the distractions or those other things. And it's like, man, where is this fleshly desire coming from? Because it's like, I know my time with the Lord has been really good, but there's still something that's like, oh, escape, or oh, go to this, or oh, go watch that, or go, don't you want to put Pokemon back on your phone, or just different things. And I feel like in this season, it's like, no, I need to stand firm in this decision and what the Lord is calling me to, and continue to just spend that time with him. But yeah, sometimes I might have mentioned to Kyle or Brett, like, some days it's like 10:30 in the morning and I feel like it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because it just feels like the day is going so slow, because I'm not distracted. It's like every second I'm like present. So it's just different.
That's interesting that you feel like by taking things out, like time's going slower, and that like you almost have more time. Because I think most of the time people say they don't have enough time, right? And so to hear you say like, well, also you wake up at the crack of dawn, so you do have a lot of time. But just interesting to hear you share that it feels like the day's going by slower, almost you have more time. And I've been off social media, except for Twitter, for a long time. I just felt like it was better for... I didn't even care about getting likes, or like, I don't care about any of that stuff, but it was even just like, what is being put in front of me that even subconsciously I'm seeing or viewing or using brain energy to focus on, or even things that are like, can cause temptation or struggle or stumbling. It's like, just take it away. Don't even let that be an issue. I want to give a shout out to our small group, because we just kind of wrapping up our time, and we decided together, or I guess I kind of decided, and then they were all willing. But it was a really cool time. Each Wednesday that we had small group, it was practicing like having time to just engage with the Lord, no distraction. Like you're coming on Wednesday night to know that we're going to do some of that. And I don't think it always went how people maybe assumed, or even what I thought, or there wasn't always a firm agenda, but we asked for feedback about how it went, and a lot of people shared just taking that time to sit, to engage with a question, or just take like a pause almost. Mm-hmm. Just how it was good for them in their spirit and in their relationship with God, and how they were contrasting it to how the rest of their life, like they don't often do that. And so, if anybody wants to join Damon, I guess Damon would appreciate other people walking with him in it.
Yeah, Mimo.
Well, I guess I kind of am, right? I don't know.
You have been on, you just didn't go as, well, I think you went from like 100 miles an hour to like 10, like overnight almost. So then I think that was...
Mine's been like a slower journey, than
you've been peeling things away for a while. Yeah. So you've already slowed down. You're only going 25 in the 20. You're going 100 in a 25 zone, Damon. Come on, man.
I know. I was... it was too much. But it's also interesting, too, because as I've taken away some of the distractions, I'm still like living each day... Like, I'm probably awake longer than I was before, but I'm less tired, too, right? And so during the day and throughout the day, it's like there's more energy, there's more, I feel like I'm more present just because I'm not dragging.
You aren't using up your energy in those other distractions.
Yeah, it's just been really interesting.
I think it's interesting, though, like you were just talking about the 30-day thing and yet how it's still, that desire is still there, but it's like, well, think of how long that desire was fed. So that's for all of us. Like when we think about something that we've done for a long time, it's like those habits are harder to break, or harder to so to speak, crucify the desire, right? Because it's, you can lessen it, but then it takes time, commitment, willpower. So, I mean, I think for you too, like this journey you've been on, I think you've shared that it's been, the first couple of weeks weren't that bad and it was actually really good and really fruitful. But then it's like, oh, now it's like not necessarily that it wasn't a struggle before, but now it's like, oh, like I've got to really crucify this area or like finish it off, so to speak.
Yeah, it just, there's different seasons to the different things you do, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I mean, it's kind of like fasting. When we first started doing the fasting once a week, it was like, oh, this is so good. This is so good. And then after a while, it's like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore, right?
Well, and so, sorry. Yeah. I was thinking of like, you know, Israelites being out in the wilderness. It took them 40 years for God to walk them through a longer path to get Egypt out of them versus like taking them the shorter way. Like you look at the map and they didn't have to take 40 years to get to, right? It's like... Yeah. It's a process. Like we have so much in us that are from the world that's ingrained in us that God wants to take it out. And yeah, maybe for some people it's like an immediate like breakthrough. But even with the breakthrough, there are follow-up things that God desires and wants us and requires of us to do to walk in his ways. So yeah, we've changed our path, but I think it's like a lifelong journey with Jesus walking with him. And yeah, so that's what I think.
I think one thing that's coming to mind as you're sharing is it takes so much intentionality to like be different than the world. Mm-hmm. It's so much more convenient mm-hmm. and easy and like less struggle to just kind of just go with the flow with however
absolutely
the world or life is going, where like for you to stop these things in certain ways, it does take a lot of your will and your efforts to make a decision to do those things. And so the intentionality to spend time with the Lord or to, take a break, to take a walk, to stop listening to things or watching things and to set your focus and your time on something else does require a level of you like stepping up and, like you're saying, standing firm in it, which I think is a huge obstacle for a lot of people, because I think in theory people want to, or in their minds they're like, that I know that's good, or I know that would be good for me, but then to actually be about it is the hard part.
Yeah, this morning during my prayer time, I got this verse, and it, I feel like it's pretty appropriate for what we're talking about right now, is Matthew 7:13-14. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's when I felt like the Lord put that on my heart, and I was like, yeah, that's what I want. I want for myself. I want to be able to walk the narrow path because I want the life that he has for me. And so, yeah, I feel like some of these intentional things, it's been hard just because there's been habits that have been built up over years and years and years. But in the midst of that, I feel like God's been good and he's really been present with me each step of the way, even when it doesn't feel like he's talking. Because I think there's been parts of this season where it's like it's pretty silent, but it didn't feel like he wasn't there. So yeah, just a different awareness of what he's doing and where he is.
Yeah, I think, you know, this journey of being countercultural, it's interesting and it has different facets. Like we were talking, yours, it's not like this leads to the world hating you, but it could lead to the world questioning you. Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, why? Like, what's the purpose? You're not as productive now. You're not this. Or, you know, they can look at it from different standards. So I just wanted to kind of then let's tie in a little bit deeper to Barry's message of the world's going to hate Christians, the world's gonna hate followers of Christ. You know, I've typed in my phone, in my Bible app, world will hate you, and then all these verses pop up. Matthew 24, you will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. Luke 21, and everyone will hate you because you are my followers. John 15, the world will love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out. Mark 13, and everyone will hate you because you are my followers, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And Matthew 10, and all nations will hate you because you are my followers, but everyone who endures to the end will be saved. So it's like, that was the sobering part of like hearing Barry's message. It's, this is what we have in store for us, right? And in some ways it's like, okay, like it's like, it could be viewed as a badge of honor, but then when you think about it, what that really means, it's, ooh, do I really want that? Do I really choose? Because really it's a choice then. Do I choose to stay in that place? Do I choose to stay committed to Jesus' ways even when the world tells me it's stupid? Like, oh, why do you give money to the church? That's dumb. Like, just invest it, use it for a vacation. Or, you know, there's all these ways where we could be viewed bad. But then that's just more, I don't know, I would say more surface level, like just a judgment. But what about, well, no, you can't do this because you're a Christian, or you lose this privilege because you follow Jesus, or you're actually punished because you follow Jesus. So I know that message was kind of heavy, so I think it would be appropriate for our listeners to hear just us maybe share a little bit of how we view that and maybe even how we approach that.
I probably don't. Well, I know I don't think about it enough, or haven't thought about it enough. I think more recently I've been questioned about things, even by family, people close to me, that certain decisions or even my perspectives on things are not agreed with. And so I've experienced to a small degree what it's like when there's people you care about that kind of look at you a little differently, or kind of take a pause to like, they don't know if I'm crazy or whatever. And so it was an initial weird feeling to kind of feel that way. And it's easy to have an initial reaction of like bitterness, or even like kind of like react the same way to them as they are to you. I think one of the things that helps me in terms of thinking like the world versus what God says is, and this may not be the healthiest way to think about it, but one way I do think about it is like, I like winning. And so in the end, like, I know that Jesus wins. And so I think in certain times, my perspective isn't like a win to throw it in people's face or to brag, but to know that like, no, even though it seems like I'm losing, or the world may tell you you're losing or you're going to get punished or different things like that, it's like, well, I know in the end, like the team I'm on like wins. And so that's more worth it to me, the eternal victory, than what the world has to offer. And even at that, I know it's easier said than done, because I mean, I haven't faced the type of persecution or things that could happen or will happen. But I think every now and then I check with myself, like, not do you still feel like it's worth it, mm-hmm. but being honest about, okay, like there is going to come a point where like lines are drawn and you're going to have to take a stand somewhere. And so I've been kind of more not coming to terms, but like thinking about that more in my own life sense of like, where is that line where it's like, no, this is where I draw the line, and mm-hmm. this is where I feel like God calls me, and this is where I'm going to stand. Mm-hmm. And whatever comes with that, like, okay, so be it, kind of. And mm-hmm. so that is a little bit of scary and sad thought to have, but in a way too, it's like, I have to focus on the promise and the victory that God has, or else it is like very, you know, somber and like, mm-hmm. oh crap, you know, type of thing. But it's like, okay, it doesn't come without, I don't want to say reward, but there is like a reward. It doesn't come without victory. So that's kind of how I think about it in certain ways.
So for being a very much of a people pleaser, and I like being compliant with different things too, it's really hard for me to hear these verses and hearing that I'm going to be hated. I hate that. It makes me feel anxious. It makes me feel sad. It makes me feel, I don't know, just a lot of hard emotions. Then I was thinking about this, and God kind of brought back to my mind how I grew up. So when I grew up in Japan, my parents grew up, kind of taught us in the way where we were kind of against the Japanese culture. Mm-hmm. So that was, I still don't know what the Japanese national anthem is. And then at school, we were supposed to bow to the flag. We couldn't do that. So like me and my siblings and I were like the only ones that would just stand straight. And the reason that was is because my parents have always taught us that the Japanese flag and the national anthem were the same ones from World War II when they occupied and, you know, just did horrible things to other Asian countries. So my parents were against the fact that they were never changed after World War II. Anyway, long story. So I just kind of, God just brought that back to my mind that I have that in my history as a young elementary school child. Mm. I had to go against the things that schools were making us do. And so I just thought about that earlier this week and I was like, oh gosh, I guess I have that in my history. But I am very much of a people pleaser, so I don't like thinking about it.
Mm. I think it is it's very valuable to think about it too. Like it's not good to ponder on it and dwell on it all the time. But even so, thinking of Barry's message, it's like, and this is not a fun message. But we need to have those put in front of us every so often. The phrase that came to my mind is counting the cost. Because if you don't count the cost ahead of time, like Brett, the way you were describing your perspective is partly like counting the cost. If you haven't done that and then things start to get heavy, in the moment it's gonna be like, no, I can't do this. Like I'm gonna give in or change direction because you haven't really set that foundation of like, no, I've counted the cost, I know what's coming. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy in the moment, but it's like, no, I've went through this. This is the way I need to follow. But if you don't have these things put in front of you, and for our listeners, if you're not wrestling with Pastor Barry's message, whether you're like Mimo and you're like, I don't want it, it brings up all this anxiety, it brings up these different feelings, or that's not going to happen in my lifetime, or you know, if you don't actually wrestle with it, then how are you going to respond when things get difficult, whether that's for you personally or for your even our city, our community, our country, you know, if it gets to a bigger scale? But how would you respond honestly? Like it's really so valuable to have that kind of forethought. And I know in our minds we can say, oh yeah, I'd probably respond this way, and in the moment you might not be perfectly aligned with it, but I know for probably almost certainty that if you hadn't thought of it before, there's no way you would even consider staying the course. So I just want to challenge our church family to count the cost and know that, like Brett said, we're on the winning side, but it doesn't mean that each battle is going to be easy and it's going to be fun and, oh yeah, no problem. Like
it may not feel like a win until the very, very end. Exactly. So yeah.
But the win lasts for eternity, so that's the good part.
Yeah. Cost of discipleship, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, I think one of the things that God has been teaching me in this season is he's really been showing me his heart for people, and then especially people that either hate him or are not followers or hate us. And it's really, it's been an interesting journey, because I think in the flesh, right, it's like someone hates you, like the fleshly thing is like, okay, well, I got to hate him back, or I got to, but then when Jesus is talking, he says things like, pray for your enemies or pray for the people that persecute you, right? And it's like, okay, that part of me that wants revenge or wants to hate, it's like that's flesh. Mm. That's my flesh, right? But how does God's heart feel for those people? And right, and so one of the things that I feel like he's been showing me is just really recognizing like the brokenness in other people and how a lot of the things that they might do that seem harmful or seem like they're against me, it's really coming out of the brokenness and not necessarily just like, oh, they don't like, right? Like it's stemming from something else. And so we, you know, for kids church, we had kids church this past few months as we were doing the kingdom classes. One of the things that we talked about is how each one of us is God's masterpiece, right? And so we did an exercise with Play-Doh where we had all the kids make their own masterpiece out of the Play-Doh, right? And then we said, how would you guys feel if someone else came and just smashed your masterpiece, right? And really what I feel like the Lord has been telling me is like, that's part of his heart when he sees the enemy like messing and bringing brokenness to people, right? It's just his heart for them is so, so much that it hurts him to see that, right? And so it's coming from a different place. And so I feel like he's been really trying to show me that part of his heart for other people, right? And so it's like in my flesh, it's like, oh, I want to not like that. I want to be angry at that. But then the Lord has been saying, but my heart for that person, like I see the things that they're doing, and they're trying to fix the brokenness on their own. They're trying to fix it by going to these different things and by doing this or doing that. And they don't know me, so they're not able to come to me to help fix that. So they're trying to find it in all these different places. And so I think that's really shifted my perspective on this whole thing about, you know, the world hating us, because I feel like in the midst of that, it's like, but God still loves those people, right? And his heart is for them to return to him. And so I feel like that's been a part of my journey, just recognizing that, because yeah, sometimes in the flesh, it's like so easy to say, oh, I want revenge or I want this. But the Lord has been saying like, that part of that's like why I'm wearing my glasses too, is he wants to change the way that I see the world, right? And so it's take a look at this through my eyes and see what's really going on underneath the surface. You're just seeing the action, but there's all these other things that lead up to that action too. And so I do feel like, yeah, the world may hate us because they don't understand, but they also might hate us because we have something that they don't, right? They might hate us because they see that they're broken and that there's wholeness in us. And because of that, and they don't know where to get that, it's like, I want what they have, but I don't know where to get it. And so that can shift things to be like, oh, I don't like that person because they have something that I want, but I can't have it. But they can. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what our role is as a city on the hill, right? Is to be able to show them where they can get the healing, get the wholeness that they're looking for.
Amen. Well, I mean, while you were talking too, I had these words come. I had passive and aggressive. Like, you could be really passive with your faith and you can get pushed into different areas where you don't want to go. You could be super aggressive where you're trying to force things onto people or force situations. But then in the middle, I saw the word steadfast. So instead of, you don't want to bend and be, it's not cowardly, but like manipulated or shaped by the world. You don't want to be overly aggressive where you're pushing too hard, but you have to be like rooted and be able to stand against. So somewhere in the middle, there's like that, there's a balance. And I think sometimes people tend to be in the passive side because it's uncomfortable or it's like, oh, I don't want to deal with it. But then by doing that, they can get reshaped without even realizing it because they're just kind of drifting, or you go the other way and then you become abrasive and you turn people off and you actually do harm that way but we need like a balance of, we need to be pushing God's values out, but we also can't be too passive where we're just letting the enemy take over in a sense.
I was thinking that with sharing like people to go further in their faith. I think I'll have to check myself to make sure I'm not being too pushy in having other people kind of go deeper in their faith. I've had to, tell people or ask people to strongly consider taking Pastor Barry's class or to...
And I'm very thankful that you strong-armed some people into taking that class.
But, right, I have to, like, check my motivation and... okay, so my heart is for them to grow in their faith, and for my heart is for them to be closer to Jesus. But at the same time, I feel like God was letting me know that it's His timing too, and that I can't force people to do things. And I hope I'm not forcing anybody to do anything they don't want to do. I'm strongly encouraging people to do things, and consider, different options. But God just made it clear to me the other day that I need to hold things loosely, and just really, it's in God's time and it's God's hand. So, yeah.
And I think, the things that we're going through, like Mimo, your class, and I think Pastor Barry's class, they're really helping us to prepare us for some of these things that are coming ahead, because, one, we need to be able to hear the Lord's voice, to be able to see how He wants us to respond to different situations, but then also we need to have healthy relationships with other people, because it's going to be very hard to stand firm when you feel like you're alone, mm-hmm. right? It's very easy, or not very easy, it's a lot easier to stand when you know that there's people that you're standing with and that you have solid, healthy relationships with, and you're not feeling like you're alone. So, in the midst of the world hating us, it would be really easy for us to fall into crack if it's just one, right? If it's just me, if I'm doing it all on my own. But if I'm surrounded by a community that's moving in the same direction, that has the same commitment and passion for the Lord, then it's so much easier to stand. And I think it's so valuable to have some of these classes that we're going through with the Kingdom classes and the Emotionally Healthy Relationships class, because I feel like they're helping to give us the tools to be able to stand firm in our faith.
I agree.
I just want to give props to Mimo while she's here and not just when, she's listening far, far away.
It takes work, though, It's not easy. But I think that's the thing. We have to do hard things to make things, it sounds silly, but better, right? It doesn't just come. Any relationship, like marriage, takes work. Friendship takes work. Being in good relationship with your parents take work. And we can't just keep thinking that, things will work out the way it's supposed to. No, like, we have our responsibility. We have to take responsibility in doing things. But yeah, to do that, we need to hear from God too. So it just goes back to hearing from God.
When you said that, the first thing that came to mind was something that my high school basketball coach always used to say. He used to say, we're going to make practice so hard that when game time comes, it's easy. Mm. Right. So I think sometimes for us too, it's recognizing that, there is going to be some work to make things right. But then as we continue to do the work, the other things that should be hard actually get easier.
I agree.
Brett is so profound today. He's just trying to copy me because he didn't get a lot of sleep last night. So, a few episodes ago when I didn't get a lot of sleep, today when he came in, he's like, I'm just going to be you from a few weeks ago. So, Mimo, do you have any closing thoughts before we wrap up this episode?
My closing thoughts. Well, I feel like I just want to encourage everybody that God walks with you even when we don't feel it. Like, I feel like sometimes we want those experiences on the mountaintops, like what we would get like at a camp or, hooray, rah, rah, experiences that are great. I'm not discounting those. But I think it's also important to remember that God walks with you and is present, even when it's in the lowest places of our lives and you feel like, God, where are you? You know, that you read the Psalms and you think, oh my gosh, like, they're so honest with their feelings. And I just want to remember that we don't always have to search for the mountaintop highs, but we search for God in our lows and our quiet times too.
That sounds like another conversation we had earlier this week.
Yeah.
Preach, Mimo, preach.
No, that's like that Tornwell song, Hills and Valleys. Mm. Yeah.
You want to sing it for us, Brett?
No, I don't think anybody wants that.
All right. Well, thanks again for listening. And thanks to Mimo for coming back on. You are always welcome to come on, Mimo.
Thank you.
And if you didn't notice, Kyle already ditched us. But it's for a good reason. He's going to go back to the new facility because we are working to get us there. Hopefully, right after the new year. I think that's what we're trying to shoot for. So trying to put in the work to get us moved over there so that we can start the new year in the new facility. That's the hope. So we're really excited about all the things that God has in store for us and all the things that he's doing. So keep listening, because we got a lot in store. Hopefully everybody has a happy Thanksgiving this upcoming week. We're not sure yet if we will have an episode next week. Maybe, maybe not. So you'll just have to check it out and see if there's something released. But until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.